Just jumping in the deep end. It's the news. According to me. Yeah. It's, jumping in here. Just jumping in. Good morning. It is Thursday, May 29th. Month is almost over. 7:17 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's early. It's not, and by the way, this is not live. For those of you who've watched the show the last couple days, listen to the show. It's had these big plans for the show to be live today. I worked on it yesterday. I think I've got everything kind of ironed out, but it's a little bit questionable whether I could pull it off for today. So it was, I spent about over an hour working on the vMix program, but there's some things I can't, the green screen chroma key thing is, I used to have this thing, I used to have vMix mastered. I used to be able to do all kinds of scenes and stuff with it. You could put stuff behind me, you know, the green screen thing. It was pretty interesting. And I could post videos on there. I could, you know, comment on videos, just have myself in the little corner box and I could do all that stuff. A little scene setup. I even had this little, it's a little Bluetooth, well, it's not like actually Bluetooth, it's a MIDI compatible. I guess it plugs directly in, but it's a Bluetooth little board that you can push these, but it's got buttons and sliders on it. It's like $20. And it works really well. I mean, you can change volume, you can do all kinds of stuff on different channels, it's not really a, you know, highly professional switcher type thing, but it actually works really well. You have to program each of the keys, so you have to go into the program and say what you want that button to do on that particular setup. But it works really well. The problem is for one man show, it was the way to go. And even if I had an engineer in there, they'd probably be able to do everything just fine with the equipment I've had there. And that was my goal was, you know, we're doing the show with my nephew, as I said yesterday. His show that we were doing, our goal was to eventually have a couple of interns in there that would help us with the production of the show. That was the plan. He passed away, so it never came to fruition. But it was, I have with me my trusty little companion here this morning. He's a little bit restless. Oh, there. He just took a deep breath. I think he just kind of gave up. He was fussing around. He kind of gets a little bit antsy. This is one of those mornings where he can't settle down. And he had quite a bit of activity yesterday. Not as much as normal, probably. But he, nonetheless, this morning he was wanting to get up around 5:30. I usually don't get out of bed until 6 if I can keep him. But I'm not that I'm sleeping, but I could try to keep them on a schedule where they stay at a certain time. 6 o'clock seems to work out pretty well. And so I was trying to stay in bed that long, but he kind of got me up. I think it was like maybe 6:10 when I finally got out of bed. And because the other dog started whining. And the little dog gets the big dog all worked up. And sometimes it's the other way around, but it's typically the big dog doesn't need much working up. He's got plenty of energy. It doesn't take much. All little dog has to do is whine. The big dog all of a sudden, he's all over the place. So needless to say, of course, you get up and the cat is all prowling around doing all kinds of stuff. And they chase the cat around. So the one cat. That's just crazy. It's always an eventful morning. But it's interesting. As soon as I start talking, typically, it's kind of when he starts realizing, hey, this is gonna be a while. Better settle in. And he just kind of drifts off to sleep. He'll get up a couple times, but he's right now. Yeah, he's kind of sniffing around. We'll see what he does. We'll see what happens here. But anyway, hopefully he'll keep the background noise down. Anyway, I have in my cup. nicely heated up cup of chai with Almond Joy Creamer in it. Of course, it's creamy chai with Almond Joy Creamer. And in my backup cup, I still have, yes, the finest. It's just getting better all the time. The peach tea, the sweet peach tea. Homemade, with fresh peaches in it. Yeah, good stuff. So, here we are. We have a few things I want to talk about. Oh, I'm all lined up now. I can't remember what they were. Let's talk about the polls a little bit. Now, there's some interesting things happening. There are some videos. I could play some of this stuff, I guess. Letitia James is back in the news again. She's a little bit. She's her trial, whatever's going on with her, all her stuff. And I guess the DOJ now is actually bringing charges. From what I can understand, the DOJ or the state of New York. I can't remember how it's all happening now. And of course, she says all these charges are baseless. All these claims are baseless. You have to understand when you hear this lady talk. Again, going back to the whole projection thing of how Democrats are, this you have to understand how they think, what their mindset is, that they're what the whole thing revolves around is. I think it's at its core is this opinion, this attitude that they are. You hear the dog chewing his bone there in the background. With a loud bone. At its core, at their core, is this idea that they are morally superior. That their ideology, their opinions, their way of life, their is superior. They're living in the higher, on the higher ground. And many times they will claim God. You hear Letitia James do this all the time. She'll throw in a little snippet of something from Scripture. I'm here to help the least of these. That's what you voted for me to go to do this. So she's blaming the voters. And this is what you voted. You voted for me to do this. You're the one who gave me this job to do this. So so that's kind of like you're in this with me. She feels like she's at the center of the universe. Of everything that's happening around her, she thinks she's the most important person in every room. Now again, this is very different than what you get a James Comey type person. It's very different. She has a very different mindset, whereas James Comey is he thinks he's the smartest person in the room. Letitia James thinks she's the most moral person in the room. She has herself convinced that she has some kind of moral obligation to uphold, to show the world how moral she is, how much she is. She's morally above everybody else. Therefore, she can do these things. She can commit actual real estate fraud, bank fraud, defraud the bank. There's actually someone who's been injured in this situation. Laws were broken in this situation. There were no laws that Donald Trump broke in this case, which is the weirdest thing. So that's what's so weird about the case that she brought. What law was it exactly that she was charging him with? Anybody know? Anybody ever said that? Well, it was fraud. Okay. The bank doesn't say it was fraud. The state just came in and said, this is fraud. state made the ruling without any kind of trial. And then the trial happened, and it was just a jury that was convinced that Donald Trump was evil, and we have to get him for something. Didn't matter whether it was right or not. It's ridiculous. And everybody saw it as such. And of course, that's one of the reasons why he got elected president. People are tired of this. And they just keep doing it. They just keep doing the same thing over and over and over. Now, Chuck Schumer has many times come out and on Sunday news shows or whatever he's on, when he's getting interviewed by somebody. He has a tendency when he's on with his buddies, with CNN or MSNBC, he'll have a tendency to kind of say the quiet part out loud. He'll say what's in the playbook out loud. And, you know, the question I have basically for all of you, and for, you know, the listening public, for the public in general, for the world in general, country, is do polls really matter? And I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but first of all, a word from our sponsor. Our sponsor is us. We have, you can call on the show. It's 812-379-8778. You can leave a text message or a voicemail. And you can, I haven't checked my messages. I've gotten a couple wacky ones. Nothing really worth putting on the thing here. But let's find out if we have anything here. Where'd it go? I thought it was right there. I guess it's not. I don't want that thing up there. What's that doing there? So bear with me as I peruse through my phone. Oh, what happened to it? Huh. That's interesting. That's gone. Well, let's see what I can find here if I do this. Let's see here. There we go. That's it right there. All right. Apparently. Apparently there were... There it is. I don't know why that particular app got turned off for some reason on my phone. I don't know what happened there? Sorry. You get to play by play here. It's almost like being on live broadcast, because you know that's just kind of the way that things are. No editing involved in that. So yeah, so you can call on the show. You can text in, call in. If you don't have a phone that's capable of international calls, in case you're calling from outside the United States, you can either text via google.com/voice, type in that number, 812-379-8778, and you can leave a message, you can leave a question, you can leave a comment, whatever you want to do on the show, on whatever you want. Or just ask a question, and ask, make a comment about anything. I don't care. Some people do. Just make comments about anything. When I do the live shows, it's interesting. Some people will pop in the chat room and just make random off the wall comments. I don't understand. And I sit there and look at it. And I realize I've been staring at their question for like 20 minutes and I haven't been saying anything, which is kind of, it just feels like 20 minutes, probably 2 seconds, but I look at it and go, what in the world is that question about? I don't understand what I'm looking at here. So we have the polls. Now, here's the deal. Did the polls matter? Trump doesn't care about the polls, not to any great extent, for himself. He really doesn't care about his favorability rates. Now, here's the problem that the Dems are having right now. Their whole goal, Chuck Schumer came out probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe over a month ago. And said, yeah, we're going to get him down in the polls. We're going to get his poll numbers down. They know that they have to get his poll numbers down, but they can't impeach this guy with high poll numbers. That's just not going to happen. It's going to be the death knell of them in 20. And here's the whole thing. Now, 2028 is a long ways off. They're kind of looking at and messing with the soup to see what happens here. But the real test, the litmus test for them, is going to be in 2026. The midterms matter more, in my opinion, in this election than they've ever mattered ever before. Every time they have an election, oh, this is the most important election ever. All the elections are important. Okay, there's no election that hasn't been important. The 2026 election for this particular president is pivotal. It is instrumental. It is absolutely an important election to have. Now, I'll get into why I believe that is the case. But right now, that is their goal. Their goal is to get his poll numbers down. They were dropping to some extent. And of course, they were coming up with all this stuff. They were talking about the tariffs. The tariffs, this is the end of the world. It's the end of the world. You have tariffs. Oh, this, he's ruined everything, our relationship with everybody, with Canada and everything else. Our economy's going downhill. It's crashing the economy. Well, tariffs are crashing the economy. The stock market's crashing. Everything's all doom and gloom. Blah, 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 blah. Again, the Democrats don't care about your life or anything about it. The price of eggs. That's all they know about is the price of eggs because they don't know about the price of anything else. They don't care. Pretend like our entire economy is based on, you know, our baseline economy is based on the price of eggs. It has nothing to do with Joe Biden ordering that 20 billion chickens were killed. So anyway, we have this issue where they got to get his poll numbers down. The economy is terrible. It's over. Consumer confidence, oh, it's terrible. It's the lowest it's been. Our GDP, oh, it's doom and gloom. This president's destroying everything. Now, you know, they never go back and correct themselves on anything. Well, I guess we were wrong about that. Now, they never say that. They never come back and say, you know what, we said all these things were going to happen, but they didn't happen, and we were wrong about that. Very rarely will you hear, especially anybody that's like a, you know, the multi-million dollar commentators that they have on their anchor shows, or, you know, that anchor their shows every night. However, their heads are popping off now. They're imploding. They're upset again. They're mad. Of course, this just does nothing but throw fuel on the fire of their TDS issues. So what's happening is the GDP is growing. Gross domestic product is increasing. Stock market is back. It's very solid. In fact, it's very hopeful. The numbers of the amount of investment into the nation in terms of investments made into businesses from foreign entities, foreign investments, is up like three times what it normally is. The job situation is better than it's been for a long time. The numbers on the consumer confidence is actually increased. Now, here's where they're really going crazy here. This is what really their heads are popping off about this one. These polls that were done very well, by the way, in fact, even people on CNN and MSNBC are like, we like these polls. We like the polls themselves. We like the fact that these polls were the way that they were done. There was some were, I think one of them was 2,000 people, both very of likely voters or registered voters, likely voters. And they were, you know, and they treat all this stuff like it's a race. I mean, it's he's up, he's down, he's up. What? This is like day trading. You watch the stock too much, and sometimes you just go crazy. Everybody's got bad days and good days, but the only poll that really matters is the one on November 3rd, or whatever it is, November 5th, whatever it is. So we have, their heads are popping up because the question that has been asked, and this has been down for a very long time, it's been down in the 20s, is the country headed in the right direction? Over 50%. It is over 50% of those polled believe the country is headed in the right direction. That is huge for them because they realize that is unbeatable. As things continue to unfold with our economic situation, our trade situations that are obviously... Now, the consumer confidence, a lot of these polls are behind. They're, by the time they process everything, go through everything, take the polls, do everything, they're usually a couple weeks behind. I guarantee you that the numbers are probably greater than that now. There are people on the left who are just tired of the rhetoric from the radical left. They have doubled down on some things. Continued to say Trump is a Nazi, Trump is a, you know, he's a Hitler, he's a dictator, he's a fascist. They're foaming at the mouth. It's, these people need medication. They continue to go there. And they just continue to feed. And of course, when the polls go back into his favor, they don't shift to, I guess we were wrong. Maybe some of these people, maybe the people of the country are actually correct in their assessment here. They don't look at it that way. They start getting mad at the country. They start blaming the American citizen. Oh, people are so stupid. This country's racist. This country's just nothing but a bunch of bigots. They're following, these are just Nazis following the fascist leaders. They're brainwashed. They go into double time on the Trump derangement syndrome stuff. It's just, they shift the blame. Look, all the things we've been saying about, apparently they're not listening. No, we're not listening to you. We're listening, but we're not believing you. Because you've lied to us about so many things in the last many, many years, but eight years especially. And then when you're found out, you shift the blame over to somebody else. Jake Tapper is a perfect example of this. Well, I'm going to write a book about the cover-up of Joe Biden's condition. Obviously, he was a lot worse than we were told. Who couldn't see it? So, we are, here's why it matters. Here's why the polls matter. If President Trump is not a popular president, the Republicans in the House and the Senate will start turning against him when he's trying to pass and trying to codify these executive orders that have been put into place. Now, you have to understand, they've got to put this stuff into law. All the things that he's doing. Remember what Joe Biden did. Now, Joe Biden, of course, on his own, did not think about anything. He probably, Joe Biden, if he was left to himself, if they would have walked into a meeting and everybody would have said, Joe, what do you want to do today? The first thing on his list probably would not have been, let's reverse all of Donald Trump's executive orders. Somebody told him to do that. Joe didn't walk into meetings and say, large and in charge, and saying, here's what we're going to do today, folks. This is the agenda for the day. Do you see him as that kind of leader? Not at all. Oh, they tell me I can't say this. They tell me I can't say that. Oh, I'm not supposed to say anything. I'm not supposed to ask questions. Where am I supposed to go next? This is an absolute puppet. We didn't walk into meetings with an agenda. The agenda was already set by someone else. This is what we're going to talk about today. And the president's going to sign off on all this stuff. And who was actually running it? Who was actually... There was a group of people, but make no mistake, there was powers that be running the show with their agenda and everything else that was going on there. And this what amazes me is that they don't see it that way. They don't, the media. And I've heard people in the media say this. This one guy said, I'd rather have a president in a coma than have Donald Trump in there. That's great. That's great. You don't think maybe there's a problem? You know, maybe you need to have some counseling or something? You should realize what you just said. So, so the polls matter, and the reason the polls matter is because if President Trump is unpopular, going into the midterms, we're coming up here on election season, which will be start this fall, for those who are seeking re-election in the House. Now, the first time, Trump's first term, here's what happened. He won. You had all these anti-Trump Republicans, the establishment Republicans, the rhinos, whatever you want to call them. They all started jumping ship. First of all, they pushed back on everything that Trump wanted to do. One of the main things he wanted to do was to build a wall. This is one of his big deals. Border security. Of course, as soon as he got elected, the border basically dried up right away because everybody knew it wasn't going to tolerate illegal immigration. So it slowed down again, just like it did this time. The big deal, though, one of his big things was the wall. Republicans didn't get on board with the wall. It's too much money. It's cost too much money. How much did it cost us to have tens of millions of people coming across the border in the last 4 years? How many billions of dollars? It cost us way less than the wall would have cost. If the wall would have been completed by the time Joe Biden got into office, well, guess what? He still would have allowed people in, but it would have been a lot harder for people to surge the border and just come through. The cartels would have had a much harder time. They don't use checkpoints. So they had Republicans jumping ship and retiring, knowing full well, and the way they did it was almost criminal, in my opinion. They betrayed the Republicans, in my opinion, the way they did it, the Republican people, because the way they bowed out, a lot of them decided they were going to retire after the primary, which then gave the Republican Party, the establishment part of the party, the opportunity to put in whoever they wanted to. Of course, that was as a candidate. And they didn't want Trump. They wanted Trump to lose the House and the Senate. I believe there were rhinos, there were establishment Republicans who wanted to see him get impeached. Let's just let him get impeached and we'll figure it out later. We'll let the Democrats take over for a little while and then we'll come back later on. We got to think 10 years down the road. There were Republicans, keep in mind, in the 2016 election with Hillary Clinton, there were staunch Republicans that were, you know, you would think had never, you know, even the head of the RNC, Michael Steele, who now is, I think he's on MSNBC or CNN, one of the two, staunch Democrat now, he was never a Republican. These people all jumped ship when Trump got into office. They wanted to see him get impeached. Back in 2016, when Hillary was running, they were all saying, we just need to vote for Hillary this time. And we'll figure it out in 4 years. Can you imagine where we'd be right now if Hillary Clinton was in office? Keep in mind, we would just be finishing up. She would have just stepped out, by the way, of offices, because she would have had eight years. She would have been there 8 years, I guarantee you. Once she got that grip on power, she wouldn't have stepped out. Where would we be right now? After years of Obama and then 8 years of Hillary Clinton. So, people were telling us to vote for Donald Trump. Republicans were telling us that. Or I'm sorry, they're telling us to vote for against Donald Trump. Vote for Hillary Clinton. Glenn Beck was one of those people. At the very end, he was basically along. He was on board with that. And of course, it cost him a lot. One of our radio stations here locally that I listen to, MNC, 95.3 MNC. Listen to it quite often, and it's they canned him. They dropped him. The morning show. I used to listen to him. I had issues with him, but it was entertaining. And they dropped him. Now I think they're having him. I think he's coming back. Now after the election, and after everything kind of fell through, and stuff was going on, after about 2 years, Beck came back and finally said, hey, you know what? This is the guy we need. Supposedly, now that he's changed his tune now. So he's on board with the Trump thing. To some degree, I mean, just as much as he can be. But again, I think this is one of those issues where Glenn Beck gets a... Now remember, Glenn Beck was on CNN before he was on Fox. Of course, he got fired from Fox. Fired from CNN, fired from Fox. As well as Tucker Carlson. Among other people as well. The interesting thing about all this is that there's still an establishment core in the Republican Party that needs to be routed out. And it's slowly but surely it is going away. But in my opinion, as long as Mitch McConnell, where is Mitch McConnell these days? We have, you know, talk about the Democrats with Biden. We have our own little Republican issue here in the Senate. A man who, where has he been? We hear from Schumer. We don't hear from Mitch McConnell at all, other than maybe something typed out, written. He's not making speeches like he was every day, because he can't. He's incapacitated. Somebody recently had a video of Congress showing up for the morning session or whatever it was. And it was the senators and congressmen from the House and the Senate both. These cars were rolling up, and they had people getting out, oxygen bottles, walkers, all kinds of stuff to get them from their car to their. Of course, they don't try to keep all this stuff secret. They try to keep it in the dark. But the comment that this person made was, this looks like they just emptied out the geriatric ward. And it's sad. Now, is it possible for a person to function completely and have their wits about them and be able to do the job even though they're old and decrepit? Sure. But that's not what we have here. We have people who can't even hardly make they're just operating on autopilot that was designed in 1942. If you've ever flown an airplane that had the older autopilots, they were all over the place. A lot of them ran on vacuum systems that had like gyros and all kinds of mechanical, it was electromechanical stuff. And it just, let's just say it was not very dependable. It was a good day when you could do a whole flight with an autopilot that worked. And you were kind of amazed. Hey, look at that thing. It didn't take off and go somewhere weird. Thing worked like a charm, that one leg. So then the next time it wouldn't work at all. Or it would engage and it would go someplace you didn't. Where's it going now? And that's kind of what we have, I think, with the the old folks' home that is our Capitol Hill right now is the, we have these old folks that they don't understand anything about what's happening with the, they want things to return back to the traditional America that we knew. And that's, you would think that would be conservative, that would be considered conservative. That's not conservative. Because these are big government Republicans. Conservatives are not for big government. We want to trim the fat. We want to trim out the waste, fraud, and abuse, and also some of the other things that leave people enslaved, in my opinion, because it's a news quote to me. They're enslaved to a system, and LBJ was the first one who said it out loud. I think it was under, wasn't it under LBJ that the whole thing started with welfare? Let me just take a quick look here and see what we got going on, ladies and gentlemen. The welfare started in what year? Let's see what it has to say here. History of welfare, 156 years old. This is history of welfare began. Yeah, it's the 1930s. The Great Depression, three small programs. Franklin D. Roosevelt, FDR, New Deal programs, one of the, in that year, welfare expenditures were $2.4 billion. At some point under LBJ, let's see here. Let's see what this says. War on poverty. This was the war on poverty under Lyndon B. Johnson, 1964. Yeah, here it was. It was the Economic Opportunity Act, the EOA. And one of the things that LBJ said, it was, this will keep the black population, this will keep them down. He actually said that. Thinking that was a positive thing, not. And here's the back of LBJ talking about how the welfare state inadvertently helped ruin black communities. This is a really good article. This is an article by Libertarian Institute. Sam Jacobs, January 9th, 2020. This is actually written a while ago. Building the Great Society inside Lyndon B. Johnson's White House. This is actually, that's by, who did the picture? The dust has settled and the evidence is in the 1960s Great Society and War on Poverty programs of President LBJ have been a colossal and giant failure. One might make the argument that social welfare programs are the moral path for a modern government. They cannot, however, make the argument that these are in any way, effective at alleviating poverty. Quote, we waged a war on poverty and poverty won. That was from President Ronald Reagan, 1988, State of the Union Address. That was his, it was his last term. In fact, there is evidence that such aggressive programs might make generational poverty worse. While the notion of a culture of dependence, in quotations, is a bit of a cliche in conservative circles, there is evidence that is indeed the case. There is evidence that this is indeed the case. Did I say that? No, I don't think I said that. That, concursely or not, consciously or not, sorry, it's concursely, I don't think it's a word. The welfare state creates a culture where people receive benefits rather than seeking gainful employment or business ownership. It takes away incentive. When you're hungry, you have a tendency to want to work to get something so you can buy something. You know, and here's where the crux comes into this thing. Well, they went out and robbed. They were trying to rob the house just because they were hungry, because they had poverty. There was poverty. Poverty start. No, poverty doesn't cause that. moral decay causes the robbery. Being hungry means I need to find something to do. I need to find some work. You don't stand on a street corner with a sign that says, "We'll work for food." And when somebody walks up and offers you a job, you say, "Ah, just give me some money." See, there's just, you can just give me a couple bucks. Nobody got a job for you. I'll give you some food. That's what your sign says. That's what the contract there. I'll sign that contract there, that "we'll work for food" thing. Come over and rake my leaves and I'll give you a sandwich. I'll just give me a couple bucks. So you don't want to work. You won't work for food. You just want money. You're doing the work you're doing right now. We are now 50 years into the development of the Great Society and the War on Poverty. It is time to take stock in these programs from an objective and evidence-based perspective. When one does that, it is not only clear that the programs have been a failure, but also that they have disproportionately impacted the Black community in the United States, which is exactly what LBJ said he was going to do. The current state of dysfunction in the Black community, astronomically high crime rates, very low rates of home ownership, and single motherhood as a norm, are not the natural state of the Black community in the United States, but closely tied to the role that social welfare programs play. Or as Dr. Thomas Sowell stated, this is a quote, Dr. Thomas Sowell, he's a brilliant man. If we wanted to be serious about evidence, we might compare where Blacks stood 100 years after the end of slavery with where they stood after 30 years of the liberal welfare state. In other words, we could compare hard evidence on the legacy of slavery with hard evidence of the legacy of liberals. Here's a peek into how Black America has been a victim of LBJ's Great Society. Now, this goes on, and it talks about the state of the Black family. Black families had a higher, a lower divorce rate, had a much higher rate of people staying together, married before 1964. There were kids being interviewed in their senior years in school. So this is many, many years ago. Probably 20 years ago, this study came out. In many of the urban schools, mostly Black, high Black, say majority Black population high schools, they would interview these young ladies in their final year of high school. What do you want to do? What are you going to do from here? Going to go into college? Going to do what are you going to do? Well, I just want to have a baby and get on welfare, get on support. That was their goal. Over 50% of them were saying that in the polls that were done. The Economic Opportunity Act, let's just read through a few of these. This was the flagship of the effort on the War on Poverty. It created a community action program, Volunteers in Service to America, VISTA, and Job Corps, or as Obama would say, CORPS. The Food Stamp Act of 1964, this created a food stamp program that remained largely in place until President Bill Clinton ended welfare as we know it. At this time, food stamps were open-ended and could, in theory, be a means of feeding a family for life. It's a very different situation there. Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1964. This is known as the most sweeping legislation impacting education passed by the United States Congress. It sought to level an alleged achievement gap. They always have that gap. This is the donut hole. This is the... in public education. It has been reauthorized both Democrat and Republican presidents, by both Democrat and Republican, under the names Improving America's School Act of 1994. I believe that would have been, Bush? No, that would have been Clinton. No Child Left Behind Act of 2004, W. Bush. And the Every Student Succeeds Act of 2015, that was under Obama. Social Security Act of 1965 created both Medicare and Medicaid. Believe it or not, it only goes back that far. And to think that we can't do without it now. The Economic Act, Opportunity Act, in particular, was insidious in that it gave broad leeway to create programs without congressional approval or oversight. An example of this is the Head Start program, which is shown to have only extremely limited and short-term effects on the ability of children to succeed in public schools. This goes on to explain this, and it's a very good article. But basically, the whole thing is the differences between 64. Now, what I'm getting at here is there's a moral shift. There's a moral question. I'm hungry. Do I steal to get some food, or do I find somebody to work for? Do I earn some money? Do I do something productive that will allow me to feed my belly, my family, whatever it is? Many times these kids are not out there, just 12, 13, 14-year-old kids are not out there stealing something because they're hungry. Because they want a pair of Nike shoes, Air Jordans, whatever it is they want. Or sometimes it's just vandalism. Believe it or not, some kids will just go out and break windows and smash cars and do stuff just for the fun of it. That's what they do. Folks, it's a moral choice to do that. When you have the choice to do something good or something bad, and you choose the bad thing, that's a moral choice. And folks, that comes and stems from a culture that either allows it or promotes it or ignores it. Or excuses it in some cases. Which is probably the biggest thing that's happening. Well, they can't blame him for that. Well, yeah, he stabbed somebody because, that person asked him to leave the tent. He was standing up for his, they bullied him. They were going to attack him. He was going to get lynched. They were in the process of lynching him right there. If he hadn't stabbed that kid, well, he'd probably be dead right now. He could have walked away. He could have just sat there and ignored the kid. Nobody would have died that day. But when you have such a low value for human life that you think it's okay. Folks, I got to say, if I was ever in that situation where I knew it was my life or his. Either I take his life or he's going to take mine. There would still be a hesitation in me to say, is this absolutely necessary? An eternal soul. They made their decisions. They made their choices. They put themselves and put me in the situation that I didn't want to be in. That's on them. But now I'm the one who has to make it happen. And I've got to live with that the rest of my life. This eternal soul has all eternity to think about it. That's quite the heavy weight that you get to process in milliseconds before you pull that trigger. And you better have it thought through before you better have those synapses already warmed up before the event happens. Because otherwise you'll get trigger happy. You'll be sitting behind bars probably. Not that that matters, at least you're alive. All tough situations, tough stuff. So folks, do the polls matter? polls matter. Because 2026 matters. If the Democrats, as traditionally as it is, typically after a president wins, especially when they win the House and the Senate, very narrowly in the Senate, especially when you have Mitch McConnell as your when all this is in place, if the Republicans who are concerned about their job more than they are about their country, they lose the House and the Senate. President Trump's impeachment is unquestionable. They will do it. Especially if they can get his poll numbers down. They can get in touch. They are chomping at the bit for this. It will be the sign that they, look, the Democrats have come back. And now we're coming back to, now because this is, we have a mandate from the American people to punish this president, to impeach him. They'll do it. In a heartbeat. It'll be the first thing they introduce as soon as they get back once they're sworn in 2027, you will see the House. They will be tripping over themselves to throw articles of impeachment at the House and the Senate. I'm introducing bill number 27,542. It's going to be the next one for Trump to be whatever. For dastardly deeds done, whatever it is, that's what Al Green's thing. Dastardly deeds done. I'm pitching for dastardly deeds done. Press them, dig them, dash them. My dog's concerned about me. What is that language you're speaking? He knows French and knows English, but he's never heard that. So that's where we're at. That's why the 2026 election matters that much. And we have some friends, mostly foes, in my opinion, in the establishment Republican Party that I think really needs to be attended to. So having said that, my dog's trying to walk off. I don't have his leash. He's free to roam about. It's time to stop the show. And I'm almost out of chai. So that's almost out of chai, almost out of time. And it's almost been an hour. So here we go. Thanks for sharing this cup of chai with me, folks. Again, 812-379. Yeah, that's what it is. 379-8778. Give a call, text, whatever you're going to do. Have fun with that. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day. Pray for our nation. Pray for the 2026 election. And let's continue moving forward. That's all I can say. Verify everything. Do your own research. There's nothing wrong with that. Despite what Brian Stelter says. Anyway. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day. Take care. See ya.